Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. And welcome back to episode 218 of the English with Kirsty podcast. And today I'm going to do something that I haven't done for a while and I've been meaning to do for some weeks now, but it's another solo episode because my plan was to have one solo episode and one interview episode. And then I had so much fun with my guests that I didn't create any solo content. So I decided to do it this week because I am working on a couple of things and the learning points from these things may be useful to you as well. So I want to share them because I think people who are listening to this podcast are either learning English or at least learning other languages. And it may be that if you're doing that in a business context, you need to create content in those languages as well. And that's what we're talking about today. And that's what I've been doing the last week or so, because I need to create two pieces of content. One is a presentation in Romanian that I have to deliver in Romanian and answer any questions if they come. And the other is a blog post in German for a site that's written in German. And it's a fairly long post. I need to write that. They're both about learning English, different aspects for different audiences. So it's information that I know about, but it's different because I don't usually do this in other languages. I use my other languages, well, two of them, German and Romanian, at work, but I don't usually create content in those languages. And there are some things that you have to think about additionally if you're doing that. So that's what we're talking about today. Some of it is practical advice and some of it is more about you as a person, how you feel about how you're doing it, how you treat yourself while you're doing it, to make it a less overwhelming experience if it's something that you find more stressful. So both of the pieces of content are nearly finished. The presentation, I have the content. I hate making slides, so that's still to be done. But the content is more or less finished. And the blog post, the first draft is done. I need to go through it again and correct some things, maybe change a few things, but it's essentially done. So I have 10 points and I'm going to go through them one by one and just expand on them a bit. So the first one is about the research that you need to do, or may need to do. It's possible you don't need to do any because you know your subject and you're just going to talk about it or write about it. But it's possible that you will need to find some more information if you are using an additional language, because there may be some terms that you're not familiar with. For example, I spent some time looking for something yesterday in German to find that it doesn't exist. You just use the English word. So there's that. But I didn't know that and I had to find that out. And it could be that there's a gap in your vocabulary. So you can either do that beforehand if you think it would be helpful, or you can make a list of things that you need to check. It does take away from the creative process, though, if you try to do that as you're going along, I found. So if you come across things that you need while you're making your plan or writing your first draft, then, you know, go and find them out later rather than having your whole train of thought derailed because you didn't know one particular term in the other language. So it's really up to you how you do it and whether you know about your knowledge gaps at the beginning. But it may be that you need to do some extra research. And equally, if it's something that you really haven't talked about in the other language or written about, it may be worth watching some videos or reading some articles so that you can see how other people talk about that thing. Not so that you can steal their ideas, but so that you can feel more confident that the language you're using is the language that people generally use when they're talking about that thing. So the second thing is you may need more time. And that's hard because a lot of us don't have very much time. But it's worth building in some extra time if you're not doing something in your first language, because it's possible that you'll need it. So maybe for some research, or maybe the creative process will be a bit slower if you're doing something in another language. I was complaining about that yesterday, like, oh, it's so slow writing in German. I don't type any slower, but my ideas were coming more slowly. I was lucky in the end because I did manage to get my first draft done yesterday and I wasn't planning to do that, but I started feeling inspired and managed to get the whole thing done. But this may not happen to you, and it's better unless you're somebody that really thrives under the pressure of doing something just before the deadline. And I know there are people like that. I'm not one of them. I can do it if I have to, but I prefer to give myself a bit more time and just to understand that it's possible you'll need a bit more time if you're not working in your first language. And you know yourself as well, you know, how do you feel when you're writing something? Is it something that you need to give yourself time for, or do something in the other language before you really feel inspired? It's, you know yourself better than anyone else, but it's possible that you'll need a bit more time. So the third thing, do you need any help? And I don't mean someone to do the whole thing for you, but with anything, it's worth thinking, is there anyone that can help you? And if there is, don't ask them immediately before you need to submit the thing. You know, like if you're going to ask for someone's help, it's nice to give them a bit of warning or to ask them to make sure that they're available. And if they're not, you might need to have a plan B. But I don't generally get a lot of help with the things that I do in other languages because people know that it's not my first language. But I think it depends. If it's something for my site, maybe I wouldn't. If it's a sales page for my site, I probably would, because I intend to send more people to that site, to that page, and I don't want the first thing they see to be a mistake. And I think I feel a bit more inclined to get a second opinion if something's going on someone else's site, because I want to do a good job for them as well, and I want to be seen in a positive way. So I don't think there's anything wrong with asking someone to have a look at my article before it goes up, or it depends how important the thing is to you. But there's nothing wrong with asking for a second opinion or some help if you think that would be good. So the fourth thing, I mean, this is a thing that you should be doing anyway in any kind of presentation or content that you're creating, about thinking about your audience. But that's also important because you're creating something in another language. Maybe other people there will be using this language as an additional language. They're not in my case, but if they are, then you need to think about the level of the language level, both in terms of how much knowledge they have of the subject and also their language level, because that may become relevant. That's more probably relevant for using English as an international language, but it's also something to consider if you're doing that. So for me, the people that will be reading or listening to my content are either native speakers or very fluent speakers, so I don't have to think about the language level. I do have to think, one of the groups is they all have a similar job role, so to make it relevant to that job role. And the type of language I use is really about how I want to come across, you know, how I want to speak. I want it to be relevant to people. I want people to learn. But I also know that it's possible that I won't do that in exactly the same way as I would in English. But that's also okay, because that's how the Romanian or German speaking Kirsty communicates at the moment. And we'll come onto that in a couple of points. But just to be aware of who will be there. If you don't know who will be there, maybe you can find something out about them. If it's a live event, you may have to adapt a bit as you become more aware of who's there and what they need. If it's a blog post, there's not so much you can do about that, but you can at least find out some information about the blog before you start. Number five, especially if you are speaking or presenting, it's good to be prepared, and I think some of us try to prepare a bit more. I certainly do. If I'm speaking one of my other languages, I will write more comprehensive notes than I would if I was speaking in English, because I don't like a lot of notes when I'm speaking in English. But when I'm using other languages, I like to have that security of writing down some more relevant vocabulary or a bit more information about the points that I want to make. But I think it's really important to get the balance right, because you can be over-prepared and that doesn't help you. That won't help you because you're looking too much at your notes and you're thinking about what you've written, and that can be really distracting, especially if people know that you're doing that and it doesn't feel very authentic. You know, anyone can just read from a script. It's not very exciting. So of course, do some preparation. I know some people like to do more preparation than others. Some people can do really well without much preparation, including in additional languages. But for those of us who do like to at least have an idea what we're going to talk about, it's good to prepare. But it's also important not to do too much and not just to be reading your notes, which is something that you may be tempted to do if you're feeling nervous. But you can't prepare for everything. If you're going to answer questions, then you have no idea what they're going to ask you. So you have to be a bit comfortable with this idea of spontaneity and not knowing exactly what's going to happen. And I know some people find that easier than others. And it also plays a role whether you're doing that in another language. But the more you do it, hopefully the easier it will get. So number six, do not write in your first language. I know I always say this, and and people always do it and then tell me that they wish they hadn't, because it's a really bad idea and you shouldn't do it. So if you are preparing something, whether it's notes for a presentation or you're beginning to write a text, you should do it in the other language, because if you don't, it will be so much harder for you. Certainly never ever try and present from notes in one language in another language. I did that once, I'll never do it again. It was awful. But even your beginner, like your first ideas and your first notes, it's so much better to do it in the language that you'll be using, because you're already getting into your voice, your way of speaking in that language. So it's better to do it that way, because you're not thinking in the complicated way that you might think in your first language. You're thinking with the vocabulary that you have. That doesn't mean you can't look up the odd word if you don't know how to say something, that's fine. But the style of speaking or writing will be different in your other language. And if you make it into a translation exercise, that will be harder for you. And it also won't sound as natural, because you run the risk that it sounds translated from your first language rather than being something that you wrote in the other language. So if you write in the target language, it will sound more like you, it'll be your voice. And that's okay if it's not exactly how you would write in your first language. I would give a lot more detail in English. I feel most confident using English because it's my first language, but with the other languages, the way I express myself is a bit different, and that doesn't mean we can't change it, because the more you learn, you can add to your vocabulary, you can use more complicated structures when you feel able to do that. But you are where you are now, and that can change. But it's important that you are yourself, especially if you're presenting something, or even if you're not, if you're writing a text, you're still representing your brand or who you are. So it's important to sound like you, because something can be 100% grammatically perfect and also really boring that nobody wants to read it. So engaging content is more important than being 100% correct. We can get so hung up on this idea of being correct and perfect, me too, but it's not helpful. So number seven, if you're presenting, and practice speaking, and practice speaking slowly, because we all get faster as if we're feeling nervous, we want it to be over, we want it to be finished, and sometimes that means that we speak too quickly. And that's a problem, because people might not understand us. Even if you're somebody who speaks fairly quickly, as I do, and as I try not to do on the podcast, it's important if you're presenting information to be clear. And that's harder to do if you're speaking really quickly. So practice speaking slowly with your voice, not just reading it, but time yourself if you need to, but read the words, listen to your voice saying the words, especially in another language, because you might not be used to that. Don't be afraid of this voice, of your voice speaking the other language, because sometimes we don't like it when we hear it for the first time, or we feel uncomfortable. I felt like that with Romanian at the beginning, because this Romanian speaking Kirsty was a lot more hesitant, not confident, and she was quiet and she spoke slowly and she sounded so unsure of everything she said, and I didn't like this voice. But the only way to change that is to get used to her, to get to know her, and then with time you can feel more confident, and some of these characteristics that you don't like as much will go away because you have the confidence to present yourself or your information in a different way. So sometimes it's a really good exercise to think about how you speak your first language. What does that sound like? And if you don't know, record yourself, just read something, watch it back, or just speak about something. What do you sound like? I don't mean your accent or how you say the words, but how do you speak? Where are the pauses? What emotion do you convey in your voice? And then look at how you speak the other language. There will be differences, and some of them are just because of your language level if you're learning. But ideally, it's good to be yourself in all the languages, and sometimes that takes some time. Sometimes it takes some getting used to. It could be some things that you're not so happy with in terms of the pronunciation, or it could just be the way that you deliver your message. It is not the same because you're using another language, and if you can make friends with this other voice, this other version of you, it will be easier to like them, to accept them, and to change the things that you're not so happy with. So it doesn't mean you have to like everything, but if you won't even listen to her or him, then you don't know what you want to change. So number 8 is about the questions that you may get. And these can come in a blog post, or they could come in a live presentation. And you could have an idea what kind of things people might ask you, but you'll never know. And sometimes you won't have the answer to the question. That happened to me in a live interview that I did, and somebody asked me a question that I had no idea. And that's okay, to be honest. But it's also this feeling of, oh, I don't know what to say, I don't, because you can't prepare for the questions, and you just have to stay calm and to say something. It's important that you keep going, because the worst thing you can do is just to freeze and not know the answer. So learning to feel a bit vulnerable and to have to be spontaneous. Whatever happens, it's probably not as bad as you think it's going to be. So just to stay calm, because then you will be in a better position to answer if you're not using energy on the fight or flight response, wanting to run away because somebody asked you a question. So number 9, you should do this anyway, but about checking. So checking what you've done, and you may not see the mistakes in the other language if you do it straight away. I don't see the mistakes I make in English if I check them straight away, but it happens as well with other languages. So this goes back to the point about leaving time, because if you try to do everything the night before you have to give the presentation or hand something in, you're not going to have as much time to check it. And sometimes it's the really simple things and you see them straight away. If you give yourself a bit of time away from the text, then it's easier for you to notice and fix the mistakes. But also reading aloud again. If you read it aloud, specifically I'm talking about the blog now, if you read the text aloud with your real voice and not just skim reading it, then you may hear where something doesn't sound quite right or it doesn't sound natural in the other language. That's a really good way to find mistakes, by actually reading your text or your slides or your notes or whatever aloud with your real voice and giving yourself the time to check and make any improvements. And the last thing is about thinking about your relationship with mistakes, because nobody likes them, nobody wants to make them. But some people are so worried about making them that they don't do their best, or they don't say as much as they could because they're too busy thinking about the potential for making mistakes. So most of the time, people are not looking for them. They're not waiting to see if you, especially if they know that you're not using your first language, they're not looking to see how many mistakes you make, or if they are, then what does that say about that person? But there are ways to minimize mistakes, and I'm not saying you shouldn't care about them, because I'm very, I like detail, I like getting things right, and it annoys me when I make mistakes, but I don't like it. But I also know that, you know, the person who never did anything never made any mistakes, so it's getting that balance. And if you wait till things are perfect, you can miss some really interesting opportunities. Because when we do things in our first language, they're not 100% perfect. especially if we're speaking, we can change our mind about what we want to say, or we can say something that doesn't entirely make sense because we were speaking quickly, or it's normal. So people using their first language make mistakes sometimes, as do you, and yeah, it's not the end of the world. The real deal breaker, if you're delivering a presentation, or even if you're writing a blog post, there are things like people not being able to understand your message, or giving up because they couldn't understand you, either because what you said or wrote didn't make sense. Like, if they have to work so hard to understand what you want to say, then they may well give up and move on to something else, or start thinking about something else. Or if your pronunciation makes it so difficult to understand what you're saying, that can also be a potential deal breaker if you're trying to convey information. So, you know, these things are a problem, but the occasional mistake in grammar or something like that is not going to ruin your entire presentation. So try to have fun. These opportunities that we have to connect with other people, either through the written word or through a presentation, they can be really interesting because you can get to meet interesting people and have discussions afterwards where you learn something, they learn something, or you make new contacts. Sometimes if you think about the potential for what happens next, it can take your attention away from the fact that you are doing something in another language and you may make a mistake. So that's my last point. It's part of point 10, but it's also a point on its own. Like, try to have fun. And if you agree to do something, then make the most of it. And if you don't agree to do something because you're working in a company and you don't get to choose, then okay, you don't have the choice about whether you have to do it or not, but you can make it a more enjoyable experience by not just seeing it as something stressful. So I would be interested to know if you have any more tips to add to this list. What do you do differently when you're creating content in another language? Do you have anything to share that could help other people? Have you tried any of the things here? Let me know if anybody needs specific help with doing this, specifically in English, because I don't offer it in German or Romanian. But if you need any assistance with your English content, then you're welcome to send me a message and we can talk about that either on LinkedIn or podcast at englishwithkirsty.com. Otherwise, have a good week and have fun learning English.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.